As I'm sure you're aware, there's been a fair bit in the media about getting more women into leadership roles, onto boards, into senior executive positions. Well, the Diversity Council of Australia has decided it's time to have a look at how culturally and linguistically diverse our senior ranks are. They've surveyed over 2,000 senior leadership teams in professional services firms and banking. And to find out what the results are, I'm joined now by the Chief Executive of the Diversity Council of Australia, Noreen Young. Welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Really well. What was this survey looking at specifically?
It's specifically, in diversity practice, what we always do is attempt to discern whether or not the makeup of the leadership of our businesses and workplaces in Australia reflects the general community. And as he said, in terms of what's now termed gender diversity in workplace practice, that makeup doesn't reflect the general community at all, and there's lots of work around that. So what we were looking for is to be able to identify whether or not the leadership of Australian business and workplaces reflected the general community in terms of the makeup of the community, and whether or not there was cultural diversity in those ranks. And the results are very, very clear in that there's not necessarily.
Well, we'll get on to that in a tick, but it occurs to me that the organisations you surveyed aren't terribly diverse themselves. You basically went after the big four accounting and business services firms and ANZ.
The survey that we conducted is, in fact, a pilot because it's new methodology, and we were wanting to look at professional services because they, as businesses, are so interested in working regionally, and we thought it was important for them. But also professional services and can be pretty typical of what graduate pools look like in terms of down in their lower ranks. ANZ Bank we thought was absolutely typical. The banks are really good microcosms of Australian society. They are organisations that attract everybody from across the social spectrum. So we thought the bank was a really good contrast to those four professional services firms. No, they're not diverse as compared with each other, with the exception of ANZ, but we needed to start somewhere, and next year we hope to survey the ASX top 200 in the same way.
Okay, well, before we get on to the results, I'm keeping people waiting for those, but how did you do it? How did you measure cultural diversity?
Well, how we measured it is really important in terms of what's been released. It's a whole new way of measuring cultural diversity in Australia. We enabled people to self-identify. We enabled people to identify with a number of categories, so ethno-religiosity, cultural diversity, country of birth, country of parents' birth, which is very, very important in Australia in terms of second and third generation identity, which hasn't been measured before, how people self-identify in that context. It took us about 2 years to work through that methodology because our cultural diversity in Australia is really complex and really very interesting and fabulous, and we did that in partnership with a reference group of people from a whole lot of firms that are Diversity Council's members, and academics were the stakeholders to do that.
Okay, so what did you find? What do the senior ranks look like? Are they more or less diverse than the rest of the population?
Look, they're not either. They were really interesting because there was a reasonable amount of cultural diversity. But what we identified was that there's not a lot of cultural diversity outside the main English-speaking countries. So MESC is this new category that has been identified through the process. The main English-speaking countries obviously being the UK, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. So there was a reasonable amount of cultural diversity in those on a straight kind of reading of it. But in terms of the two places represented in Australian workforce ranks, particularly coming through the professional services and the banks and financial services, which is India and Sri Lanka and China. The senior acts didn't represent what the community looks like at all.
It is clear that they speak a range of languages. A surprising percentage of them are bilingual or bicultural. But of them, nearly 90%, 89%, spoke only English at home, which is actually, that figure is higher than in the general Australian community.
Well, I thought it was really, and it is really interesting. I don't think any of us were, sorry, Richard, that would be my dog.
I'll take that as a comment.
Yes, indeed. I don't think any of us were surprised about that, right? I think that, you know, at DCA we never assume that looks or last names are an indicator of cultural diversity, but or any form of diversity, but certainly the language, the findings about language were really interesting because it reinforced and reconfirmed that stuff about the main English speaking countries, that in terms of diversity, that's where it comes from.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Noreen Young, who's the Chief Executive of the Diversity Council of Australia. They've done a pilot survey. They looked at 2,000 senior leadership, people in senior leadership positions and in pipeline positions, so the next generation, if you like, to check out our cultural diversity. And it's sort of what you would... It's broadly representative of Australia, perhaps marginally less. It seems clear, Noreen, that... It's the right thing to do to provide opportunities for culturally diverse groups to be promoted, but what's in it for the employer?
Well, I think that in diversity practice in Australia, we're not necessarily motivated what the right thing to do is. We know that over the last 25 years, when we haven't seen any movement around gender, now we sell it in the business case context and that works, right? So the real issue, I think, for Australian business is about the business case and the economic imperative. We are in the Asian century. We are about, ANZ in particular, is about regionalisation of its bank. We actually have this culturally diverse knowledge and talent in this country. We need to utilise it for all those purposes. And so the advantage for employers, the advantage for business, the advantage for workplaces is to make sure that we're able to utilise what we have in the community. And that's really what they wanted to find out, what was there, so they can begin to work their workplaces to ensure that people from those particular backgrounds and others can flourish.
So how can they do that? How can organisations work to increase the diversity of the workforce, especially at that in that pipeline level?
Yeah, the pipeline's what's important, Richard, and we know that from the gender diversity piece. It's one of the learnings, I suppose, from that. Look, I think the first thing is look at workplaces and begin to survey in this way. What DCA has done by creating this survey is enable people in the first instance to identify, to self-identify. And in the past, people have only been able to identify by country of birth, and that simply isn't a good indicator in terms of the cultural diversity in Australia. So, first of all, they can survey and allow people to identify, and that, in the first instance, gives people in organisations an understanding that their identity is appreciated. We would look at all the measures that have occurred in diversity practice over the last couple of years in the Australian context, and they are the setting up of diversity councils in organisations, usually chaired by chief executive officers or very senior people in the business, boards, paying attention, all the things that have happened in terms of gender that are now starting to work, although not perfectly, are things we would say need to be emulated.
Right. So mentoring programs are looked upon as beginning to be successful in gender. But one thing that the business community is resisting and doesn't like the idea of is, I suppose, quotas. What about you?
DCA's position is wait and see. While there is enormous resistance to quotas, there is not resistance to targets, and most organisations within our membership, such as ANZ, such as Ernst & Young, have targets and they are working to them. We say, let's give it 5 years, let's see if these targets work, and if not, we have to revisit it and have a discussion about it.
Would it, one of the recommendations for other organisations to be aware of is the importance of fast-tracking, I'm quoting, fast-tracking high-potential culturally diverse talent where the workforce may lack diversity in the leadership pipeline. That's not even easy to say. It's hard to do.
Look, it's really hard to do, but part of surveying is understanding what you've got and why it's not happening, right? So clearly there is a problem in terms of what those senior leadership ranks look like. I think the first step is giving Australians the capacity to identify, as we've said. Fast-tracking, there's lots of ways that can happen. Mentoring programs, as you said, you know, what we're now looking at is proper sponsorship in the way that men have always sponsored each other in an informal way. We're now getting women sponsored in an informal way by senior leaders who happen to be men at the moment. And we'd obviously, organisations would now want to be looking at sponsoring their culturally diverse talent in the same way. And that is a reciprocal process and what we call reverse mentoring. So in a lot of organisations now, there's reverse mentoring of a senior man and a woman, so that senior man starts to understand what it's like to be a woman in those organisations. Similarly, in ANZ, for example, that happens in terms of Aboriginal people, where there's reverse mentoring between a senior leader and an employee of the organisation who is an Aboriginal person. So obviously that's going to work really well, because what it does in terms of those senior people is they gain an understanding of what it's like from the person who's from the previously excluded group, as we would say.
Noreen, we would love to talk to you again. I think when you've done the ASX 200 survey, is that next year?
That is next year, Richard, and I'd love to talk. It will be really exciting and really interesting.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Sorry about the dog.
Not at all. That is Noreen Young, who's the Chief Executive of the Diversity Council of Australia, with commentary from the side from her dog. And we'll have links on our website to the report, which is called Capitalising on Culture, a study of cultural diversity amongst Australian senior executives and their immediate pipeline. You'll find that link at abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. A bit later on, your letters and calls, but coming up next, the complex issue of honour killings.